Hello and welcome to the Selfish Podcast. In today's episode, we have Eileen, who I'm very excited to know, and I'll let the audience know. I couldn't pronounce her last name, but I did see her email and I'm so curious because it said the captain of the Unicorn Mothership. So I'm intrigued. I know little to nothing other than that. So we'll find out during the show. So welcome, Eileen. And can you tell me where in the world you are? What time of day is it for you?
So I'm based in Belgium. I live in Ghent. And at the time of recording, it is 7:49 p.m. here.
Oh, nice. I'm from the UK, but I'm currently in Spain. So we're on the same time zone, which is nice. A lot of my guests are from, the last guest I had today was in Trinidad. So it's a very different time zone. So it's nice that it's the same day, same type of weather, I imagine.
Yes, exactly. It's pretty nice here. Although I imagine Spain is a bit better than Belgium right now.
Yes, it's to be honest, it's very hot now. It's the heat's getting a little bit too much. We've actually gone a little bit more north in Spain to get out of the heat because it's just so hot in the south.
I imagine. Yes, one of my friends was in Spain. Well, she was in Madrid, so that's not really south, but it was already 41 degrees there. Yeah. So
I'm an hour from Madrid now, and last week, yeah, it was 40. So it's just hot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
With my guests, I really like to get to know them and their life. And I like to start with the childhood. So can you paint me a picture of what life was like for you, sort of pre 10 years old, what your parents did, how was school? And yeah, paint me a picture of what life was like for you.
Okay, so I should start with a little bit of a trigger warning because my life wasn't that pretty and that safe. Pre 10 years old, I grew up in a violent household. There was a lot of abuse, there was poverty. So it was pretty tough growing up. My parents got divorced when I was 4 and a half. And so I had a sister. So my sister and I got split up during the divorce. My sister stayed with my dad and I went with my mom. And my mom and I ended up in a household where there was domestic violence and abuse every day for about 5-6 years until she decided to leave because she noticed the abuse with me got worse. And yeah, I guess long story short, she decided to leave. And from there on was really pretty much on a quest to kind of find herself, I want to say. So there was a lot of moving around involved. And I do want to say, like, it sounds like, oh my God, so horrible, which it was. However, one like huge, I want to say, positive point for me during my childhood was definitely reading books. And I was obsessed with reading about witchcraft. And that's really where I found the basis for my spiritual practice that I still have to this day. So that was definitely a very positive light in my quite difficult childhood.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing and being open and authentic with just sharing that. I think it's important people hear people's real lives, you know, so it's great that you're able to share that. And my next question was going to be, what was your ambition or dream that you remember from a childhood? But I got a feeling now it's going to be towards witchcraft. But was that your first sort of ambition in life, like when you was a child, like a thing to do when you're older?
Yeah, I guess definitely witchcraft was a huge part, was just finding out why I was here on this planet and why I was put in that family situation. I did grow up, I think, like a lot of people in this area of Europe, you know, raised a Catholic. And I did grow up with the notions of like, you have to be good, otherwise God will punish you. So I didn't want to believe that my childhood, my situation at the time was a punishment. So I started to really question, you know, Catholicism and Christianity and really trying to figure out like there must be more out there to give my life meaning and purpose. And so from there, I did start to read more about Eastern philosophies and just really trying to get a feel of why am I here? You know, the typical metaphysical question, I want to say. So yeah, I guess that interest really just kept growing and growing until I was in, I think, the fifth year of high school. And one of my teachers at the time told me that there was this thing that you could do at university called Eastern Languages and Cultures. So you could actually study all of the things that I was obsessed with at university. And that's where I decided, okay, when I'm, you know, old enough, I'm going to make sure I can get out of here. I want to go to university. That is going to be for me my ticket out of the situation. And I'm going to study Eastern languages and cultures, which I then went on to do.
Yeah, fascinating. And I can really relate with a lot of your stories. Mine was different, but certain drives that you had. For me, I had a really traumatic childhood. I wasn't physically abused. I wasn't sexually abused, but my mother suffered severe schizophrenia. And it was a very traumatic upbringing for me. And there was a lot of poverty, a lot of neglect, and just a lot of very, bizarre environment to be in. And it made me question life. I had suicidal episodes from about 7 years old. And I was also raised like loosely Catholic, not as strict as it sounds like you were. My nan was from Ireland, and she brought that with her, and she would take us to church and things. And it wasn't so much there was a fear of punishment or anything on that, but there was your prayers would be answered. So I used to pray on my hands and knees and cry. And I got to a point where I just felt like I'm not getting answers. No one's answering my prayers. And that made me sort of heighten my awareness to all religions, you know. And where I came from, there was a diversity of Muslims, Hindus, Christians, and atheists. And I used to just question everyone's belief system because I was looking at it, trying to see who's got the answer, you know, what's going on, to the point where I was just like, okay, there's no God, there's no faith, there's none of that. And it took me to 20 years to find that I'm now full of faith, but I attach to no religion, you know, and it's like a different way of living. And that's even a possibility I didn't realize was one for a long time.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that as well. Yeah, sounds very familiar.
and I see my life and my experiences as their life was serving me something to attune myself to my purpose, to give me that insight and that awareness. Seeing my mum lose her state of consciousness and lose her state of physical action made me very highly driven to take care of my physical body, to take care of my consciousness. So I was always on a quest to improve them things because they had been sort of shown to me as I see it. And it sounds like you went through a similar process in life. You was able to reflect on your life and see that you can take from that something because it happened. You can't undo it, but you can take from it an opportunity. So I love the way you're presenting it.
Thank you. Yeah, totally agree with what you were saying. Very much resonate with your story as well. So thank you for sharing that with me as well.
When did you get to the point where you was able to talk about it? Because again, for me, and I've had lots of guests with different really harsh childhood traumas and even later in life traumas, and everyone seems to have a point where they could not talk about it. And me and myself, I couldn't even say the words my mom was ill for years without breaking down, because it was such a pain point for me. And I have loved ones who've been really badly sexually abused and stuff, and when they first told me, like, they struggled so much to bring it out because it was just such a pain point. So did you go through a similar process, and how did you transform to talk with such confidence now?
So I remember the first time I ever talked about it was when I was 11, and I had then moved yet again to another place and made new friends. And I remember being at the house of one of my friends. We were playing like with two other people in the backyard, and suddenly a blocked out memory just came rushing back. And it was really weird. It was almost as if, like, in hindsight, looking back, it was as if I was going through some sort of a psychotic break, which I have suffered later in life. But some memories came rushing back and I suddenly remembered what had happened to me. So I told my friend, but obviously we were children, like we were both 11. So nothing really came from that. And then I kind of went mute for 7-8 years until I kind of broke down in front of my mom when I was 18, 19 years old. And finally told her the whole story of what had happened. And also then at the time started talking to my dad about it a lot more, and kind of piecing things together, you know, like my father would say like, yeah, I knew something was going on because, you know, my parents were, well, they weren't co-parenting me. I was with my dad like, 2 weekends a month. So I wasn't really spending a lot of time with him, but every time I would go over there, he would notice bruises or I would act weird or there was always like something going on. And he could definitely see in my appearance as well that I had been neglected during the time when I was spending time with my mom. And he told me then later in life that he had actually tried to get full custody of me, but the laws back then were, in Belgium, at least, very much in favor of the mother. So things had to really get super bad before they would even take a child away from its mother. And so I still struggled at the time, like 18, 19, to talk about these things. And I felt like, you know, especially my dad didn't really want to hear too much about it. I think it was just too painful for him. And he felt really bad and guilty for not having stepped up, I think. And I started to really talk about it a lot more with confidence once I became an entrepreneur in 2015. And I really started to incorporate my story of abuse and violence in the really deep reasoning behind why I started my business. And in the process, I really started to heal a lot more as well. Like I'm still healing, but I can now just really openly talk about it without breaking down or without being afraid I'm going to make somebody else uncomfortable. I think that was the biggest one for me.
Yeah. No, and again, I can really resonate with what you're saying with your father, because I had a father, but he was not able to get custody. And I found out later he tried, but because of the exact same situation, even with my mom's state and health, it just, she gets custody. She's the female. She has the child. And we would see him almost every weekend. But we would hide anything that had happened during the week, because that was like our escape. To see him and to be in his presence was like such a different environment. That was the safe place. And it was like, we didn't want to bring that to that event, to him and to our environment. So he didn't find out how bad, and he still doesn't fully know, because again, it's so we can see the pain in him that he feels guilty that he couldn't have intervened, and we don't want him to be living in that, because it's already happened. So for me now, I'm just reflect that I appreciate everything I went through and appreciate everything he did do, but I can still see it causes him some pain to even think about, so I don't bring it up personally to him all the time.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Yes. I'd like to just add something, if you don't mind, as well, because you said about you're still healing. Part of my, I'd say, was healing journey, was getting to a stage where I realized, like, I felt the healing process was holding me back, because it felt like I'm always damaged. And then once I said to myself, you know, I don't need healing. I'm just growing. Some of it was growing pains, but I'm only growing. I'm good enough, but I can develop. And that once I really put that perception in myself, so much came off of me, so much felt that I could thrive and use my experience even more powerfully. So I don't know if that's something of use to you to consider.
Yeah, for me, I see it like healing for me comes in cycles. So I've kind of let go of the notion that I need to heal first before I'm able to live my life. I used to think that, but I no longer think that. I haven't thought that for a long time. But I do see my healing process in cycles. Like there's something that can come up in your life that makes you revisit certain things and see them in a new light and learn something new about that situation that can help you move forward in the present and then into the future. So for me, that's how I see it. I guess it definitely sounds like what you're describing, you know, healing versus growing. For me, it's just more, I see it as cyclical and kind of revisiting some old pain that tends to come up sometimes when certain things happen, but it's no longer debilitating, or it's no longer like, oh, I need to tend to this first and then I can move on. It's more of a curiosity of, huh, interesting. I wonder why I'm thinking back to that certain memory right now, or I wonder why this certain situation feels triggering to me. Interesting. And then I just kind of get to play around with that a little bit. And if I do need it, if I do feel like I need it, I will, you know, go back to one of the people who have helped me heal in the past, you know, coaches or acupuncturists or therapists or whatever I feel like I need in that moment. I will revisit and just kind of have, like, you know, another talk, another chat, and then move forward.
Yeah, I love how you said play with the experience as well, because definitely things come up in my life all the time where it will bring me back to a place that it just wasn't in my presence. It wasn't something that I was thinking about. And it may be even an event that happened that was like really traumatizing back then. And when that used to happen to me, it shut me down. It would be like, it would take me, it'd be like having a nightmare. And I'd get like the anxiety, the stress, and it'd feel like, right, my day, at least my whole day's ruined, and probably my sleep, and probably the next day. And, you know, and you get that pressure. Whereas now it happens and I'm sort of like you said, become curious. And I'm like, how can I reform that event? What can I take from that event? What was the opportunity in that event? And actually, like you said, play with it and actually try and use it. And then I find when I do that, I don't suffer for the rest of the day from it. It doesn't stop my activities. Like, just like you said, you can actually still continue in life.
Yeah, it's more of an and situation. It's coming up. And at the same time, you can still go about your day and do what it is that you want it to do and be curious about the thing that has come up and whatever else you want to do, right?
Yeah. And very much for me, like how my faith works now with life is whatever happens is meant to happen for me, and it's showing me something. So how quick can I see it? And if I don't see it now, I'll see it one day. And how quickly I call it faith fitness, how quickly I can keep myself in that state or get back to that state I've seen keeps me in the best balance.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that very much.
What I want to hear from you, because I'm curious to, when someone says witchcraft, I think the first thing comes up is like the Disney character witchcraft, you know, it's the evil witch who gives Snow White the apple type scenario, or the black hats and the long nose with the warts. And that's sort of the picture of a witch. How would you define witchcraft and a witch?
So one of my first mentors is she's still alive, is a witch, and she lives in Holland, and she taught me the more traditional, I want to say, form of witchcraft, which is really about seeing everything in nature and in life as connected. That is something that I've always believed, I guess, because I was in tune with witchcraft so early on in life. And also as a holistic life coach, that is a belief system that I have, a core belief that I have, is that everything in life is interconnected, intertwined. When something is lacking or thriving in one area of life, it tends to overflow into another. And it's the same also when we look at, you know, nature and how seasonal energy works. Things are now, you know, in full bloom, and, you know, some, well, at least here in this hemisphere of the world, you know, things are really in full bloom, and we are now feeling the sun's energy. It's at its highest, and soon that's going to wane, and then we're slowly going to go back into after summer into fall, and then everything in nature is going to die. And that's also the whole idea of things being cyclical and having time for rest and having time for play and having time for, you know, harvesting the things that you have, the seeds that you have planted. For me, it's all about the red thread in your life, the sacred relationships that you have to the things and the people in your life, to your business, your work, your family, your body, your spirituality, nature, you know, whatever else is important to you in your life. And for me, it's that constant presence that you're feeling of presence. Just something is there and you can't necessarily pinpoint it, right? Like, it's just that constant connection to the things that are moving us through life and that feel higher than us human beings and that feel just out of reach, but we know it's there and it's carrying us and it's supporting us and it's guiding us at all times. And the more you tap into that belief, as you called it, faith fitness, you know, the more things start to flow for you and the more things align and the more you can take inspired actions and do things and actually have a desired effect rather than running around in circles, feeling like you're constantly playing catch up and being disconnected from everything and everyone in life. That's kind of how I experience and describe witchcraft. And it's also how it was taught to me by my mentor at the time.
Yeah, nice. I love it. It's very similar to my way of viewing things. And like I said, I always looking at the patterns of life and the patterns of, like you said, that I loved how you put in the seasons, because there is that seasonal things and the same four seasons happen throughout a day. You know, it happens throughout a month with the moon. There's sort of this constant circular patterns of repetition. And I was actually having a conversation with someone a week or so ago, and he was struggling with the concept of rest. You know, he wanted to be busy when resting. And I was using that metaphor of like in a year. And I said, if you saw a farmer going out in winter planting all his seeds or trying to harvest fruit, you'd look at him and think he's a little bit, he's not going to get the results he wants because he's doing it at the wrong time. And I said, I said, you need rest, and you're actually being super productive when you rest. It's not unproductive because you're not doing something. You are doing something, and your body is doing more than you could believe or comprehend in that rest. And it was just trying to break him through that pattern of keeping busy that so many, I think, have, that causes them so much stress and anxiety, because they believe the only rest is 8 hours of sleep, even if that's to knock yourself out with alcohol to sleep.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, totally agree.
How's the last, everyone in the last 2 years has been affected in some way. How's the last 2 years been for you in your life?
For me, the first thing that comes up when I hear that question is I really went more inward, like with my attention and my focus, and really looked inside of me and really asked myself, how can I be more of me and how can I give myself permission to be, do, have anything that I want in life? Because I realized I was only giving maybe like 30% of me. And I felt like even though a lot of things were going great in my business, in my life, in my relationship, there was still part of me that was editing myself, that was dimming my own light because I was oftentimes afraid of making other people uncomfortable. That's kind of been a theme in my life that I've been, you know, working on or getting curious about. It's probably the better way to describe it. And for me, it was really about like making a shift, not only in my business, but also in the way I do and experience and view entrepreneurship. And I kind of stepped outside of that mold that I was presented with by previous business coaches, marketing coaches, whatever. I learned a lot from those people and I'm very grateful. However, I did realize that I wanted to do entrepreneurship in a very different way. I began to see it much more as a creative expression of who I am and how I'm evolving as a human being, as a creative person. And I really started to give myself permission to do more of the things that I actually love, even if that not always makes sense to people. outside, you know, outside of my circle, or just people in the world, even if they're thinking like, what is this, like, you know, mesh of services that you're throwing together? It doesn't make any sense. I just was sick and tired of being in that same kind of structure of like, you have to have one clear message and like a very clear target audience and a target market and blah, blah, blah. Like, I love all of those strategies, but I find the strategies only work when you allow yourself to play around with them and to be spontaneous with them and to work with them from a space of intuition and pleasure and presence and not having so many rules and conditioning around everything. And I kind of really learned to drop all of that conditioning, all of the rules that I had for myself. For some of those rules, I didn't even know, like, where did I even pick up on that? Like, why am I doing that? It doesn't feel good. And I just decided I'm going to do entrepreneurship my own way. And I started to add new services to the mix and just decided this is me and I am the common denominator. And people who resonate with that will feel drawn to that and it will make sense to them. And I have to honestly say, I haven't met anybody so far who has told me in the past 6 months since I made this shift, like, what are you doing? It doesn't make any sense. Like, nobody has done that because I have so much conviction about who I am and what I want to do in this world and what my purpose here on this earth is and why I'm here and the impact that I want to have and the bigger picture vision I have. And it's literally as if I finally stepped back and it's like I was working on a painting, like on a canvas, and I was just kind of painting like the lower right corner, and I stepped back and I realized like, oh, wait a minute, I have like this huge canvas, you know, like that I can still paint. Like I don't have to keep coloring that same corner. And I just gave myself permission to start doing that. And that's what came out of this weird pandemic situation for me.
Oh, nice. And again, can resonate that. For me, it wasn't a painting how I visualized it. I saw it as puzzle pieces. And I was like having all these different puzzle pieces around. And it looked at one point like I'm making lots of different puzzles. But because when my purpose was so clear and I felt it, you know, and then you can actually see that all them puzzles made one big picture. And they just need to stick together. And it was similar to yours. It was like that. And it's like you can follow the same example as someone else, but you lose a little bit of authenticity in yourself. And I think when you're really aware of who you are and what your purpose is, it's so sensitive when you come close to being non-authentic in any way, that discomfort you just recognize in an instant. You're like, that's just not for me. And then I think the traumas in life give you them strengths to not have to cater to other people's judgments and conditions and expectations. You know, when you go through certain processes and certain developments in life, I found that that's made for me like a certain level of comfort in my actions, where it's just like, I feel this is for me and this is what I'm going to do and this is what's going to work for me. And if it doesn't work for success in someone else's eyes, it's already successful in my eyes because I'm doing what I feel I should.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And definitely what you said about like having gone through traumas, it's definitely something that in my experience drives me as well, because I'm like, I survived all of that. So making a shift in my business is not going to kill me. I'm going to be fine, no matter what people say.
Yeah, definitely. No, it sounds great. And where can people find you? I saw, and I want to know the reasoning of the name. Is that part of the shift? But yeah, it said Captain, your email was captain@theunicornmothership, if I'm correct.com.
Yes.
So how did that manifest? And yeah, where can people find you and connect with you?
So my business is called The Unicorn Mothership. My website is theunicornmothership.com. I'm also at The Unicorn Mothership on Instagram and on Facebook. So if people want to look me up there, they are more than welcome. And definitely feel free to drop me a DM if you want to have a chat. I'm always open to that. The Unicorn Mothership came about because I, at some point in my life, was living abroad. I was living in Italy for almost 3 years. And When I moved back to Belgium, I moved back for a corporate job, which at the time I thought I wanted. Turned out that wasn't what I wanted to do, but whatever, I did it. And so I came back and I literally had nothing. Like, I was starting from scratch, new small studio apartment. I didn't have any furniture, barely had any clothes left. Like, I was literally starting over. And I really felt alienated from my environment. Italy and being there had been an amazing, you know, 3 years for me. It really helped me to center myself, to find a state of inner balance and inner peace. And I really needed that at the time. And so coming back, I was like, how am I going to cope with this Belgian life again? Like, am I just going to jump right in and like pick up where I left off? Like, how do I do this? And so for me to cope with this new experience of feeling alienated, I created a blog on Facebook where I was kind of creating this imaginary world of a unicorn captain, you know, flying around in a spaceship and going, you know, on all of these adventures. And I would just kind of write about that in the third person, which was a way for me to find my voice and create a safe space for me to be creative and to figure out like what's next for me after, you know, this huge adventure in Italy. And when it came time to, when I finally decided to leave the corporate world and go it alone and start my own business, I was wondering, like, what do I call my business? And one of my friends at the time suggested, why don't you call it the Unicorn Mothership? Because you have used that as a safe space for yourself to find your voice and to figure out what actually moves the needle for you. But now you're planning on opening that up to more people and to make it a safe space for other people. So why don't you just call it the Unicorn Mothership? And I was like, yeah, that's actually a great idea. And so, yeah, I am still the captain of my ship, the CEO. I just like to call myself the captain. And that's how all of that came about.
Oh, nice. Well, it worked in terms of like, it caught my eye straight away and I didn't forget it instantly. You know, it wasn't hard to, so it works in that type of label, like it's a very memorable label. But no, yeah. I like the little story with it as well. That's great. And we're getting near to the end of the show. Was there anything we didn't cover that you wanted to share before you came on?
No, I mean, as we said in the pre-conversation, it was just really fun to, you know, book in an interview with somebody that I hadn't connected with before. I just really did it from a space of, I don't even remember where I found you. I just remember thinking, hey, this really feels good. I'm just going to do that. And with that said, I definitely want to add that discovering human design last year has also really helped me to embrace my spontaneity and my energy, let's say, a lot more. I was very much struggling with that. I was very much struggling with how people were perceiving me and, you know, how I actually need a lot of rest, but I can also be super productive. And you also touched upon this with the story that you told about this person who was really feeling like they wanted to be busy all the time. I was definitely the same way. And discovering human design really helped me to understand that part of me better. Like, I'm not saying put yourself in a box and like, you know, this is your human design and there's no other way to live. Like, I'm not saying that. I just love those systems to help you discover parts of yourself. I think it's fun to play around with. It's the same with astrology or tarot cards or whatever. But so human design, it turned out that I'm a projector. And when I started to read up on that, and then I also had a human design reading with an amazing coach, you know, at first I was really like super pissed off to discover that I'm a projector because, you know, projectors, according to human design, are not here or are not meant to do a lot of work, or actually they're not meant to work. They're meant to guide people. And I was really like, I was really annoyed because I was thinking, well, I like being active. I like doing things, and like resting always makes me feel guilty for not doing things. But I just learned that I was so conditioned, you know, by society and by my parents as well. Like, you know, they were just passing on what they were taught. And it just really helped me to embrace that part of me so much more. And now I can literally say, like, you know, I can run my business, like the actual like marketing and promo side of things, and some of the admin things if need be. I can pass that on to my team, but I can literally run my business in 2 hours or less a day, and things are still going well. Whereas before, I would just keep going, like the hustle, the grind, like I would keep going. I never knew when enough was enough. Like I always felt like I had to do more. And now I just really learned to allow myself to rest. And it's true that I am actually more productive in the hours that I am actually doing things, you know, and then stumbling upon amazing people like you, just because my spontaneity led me there and we're having this amazing conversation, you know, like it's amazing. I love it. It's pure flow and alignment for me. So I definitely also wanted to add that, because that's something that's relatively new to me. I only discovered it like last summer or something. And yeah, it's made a huge difference for how I'm spending my time and energy. Yeah.
Nice. I like that. I've not heard of that concept of that. But when you said the projector, the first thing that comes to me is like the sun seems to be the ultimate projector. And, you know, without that, like there wouldn't be life. But it's also, it lights up the dark, you know, and it shows you your way. So yeah, very much what you're putting yourself out there and how you're doing it. And like you say, it does involve a lot of work, but it doesn't mean consistent, busy work, you know, effective, optimum work. And it sounds like you're doing that. So that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point of this.
No, and it's the same for me. I was like, when I put myself, I started on YouTube and I just thought, I'm just going to share, because I saw the importance of sharing in real life with people, my journey and my story and how things have changed for me through certain tools and techniques. I just thought I would share to give some hope or some light to some others out there. So I just openly started talking about things I never thought I would talk about. I thought they were locked away, you know, and no one ever needs to know them because they were too painful for me. And I don't want to give that pain to someone else. But once my perception was different and my life was different, I was like, do you know what? I'm going to share, especially during, it started in the beginning of the lockdown. I thought when a lot of people were suffering depression and suicide, I was like, well, I've been there and I don't anymore. So I'm going to share my story, might inspire or help someone. And as I was going through my process, it was like, you know, as my faith grew and stuff, and I was like, every moment in every way, life is serving me. And I was like, and every single person, no matter who they are, if they come into my presence, I have to be of service to them because they're serving me by even being there. So again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing. I truly see this as divine, and every connection is important. And it's great to hear your story. It encourages me, it motivates me, inspires me to connect with people like you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It was so inspiring for me as well. And I just love having a free flowing conversation like that. I think it's so powerful. As you said, it's inspiring to other people. And in doing so, I know that I'm giving other people permission to do the same for themselves, especially people who may be feeling a little scared or uncomfortable to come out and talk about their own story. I know, like, when people like you and I are speaking up, it really gives other people permission to do the same. So definitely applauding your mission, and so happy to be a small part of this and to be a part of this podcast. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I do have just a few small, fun, quick questions I ask every guest at the end of the show. They're sort of one answer questions. Do you have a moment for them?
Of course. Of course. I love that.
If you had to choose one, a cat or a dog?
Oh my goodness. A cat.
What's your favorite color?
Mint green.
Mint green, did you say?
Yeah.
What would you say in the simplest form motivates you, excites you?
Always finding the smallest intervention that can have the biggest impact on life.
Nice. And what does the opposite? What shuts you down and turns you off?
people telling me what to do when I didn't ask for their opinion.
Nice. And what sound or noise do you love?
A Chinese violin.
Nice. I also really like them. What sound or noise do you not like so much?
Very high-pitched noises, like a siren or something that's too loud and high-pitched.
What do you love about yourself?
That I'm a little cheeky and that my superpower is people always seem to be wanting to tell me their life story within 5 minutes of meeting me.
Nice. What do you love to see in other people?
Such a good question. I love to see vulnerability in other people. I think that's so courageous.
Nice. And very last question. What do you love about animals? This can be in nature or pets, your choice.
I love that they are mirroring our feelings and thoughts and behaviors, and that we can learn so much just by being around them.
Oh, Maya. So it's been a pleasure to speak with you. I truly enjoyed our conversation, and yeah, I wish you all the best in your future and your projection into the world.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to be here.